And friends, I welcome a very good friend of ours, and indeed somebody who, believe it or not, was born in New York City and then came back to New York in 1993. Sean Lane, chairman of the St. Patrick's Day parade in New York, and indeed the co-founder of the St. Patrick's Day Foundation. You're very welcome to the program.
Adrian, thank you so much, and thanks for playing the Saw Doctors. I was actually in college with a few of them.
Really?
So it really takes me back, and they used to come into the pub I worked in Galway, the Skeff.
Yeah, now, the Skeff in Galway, and but then, of course, when you came back to New York, well, fill us in the beginning anyway, your parents, you were born here, your parents, are both of them from Galway?
No, my father's Galway, my mother's Mayo.
Hey.
And, you know, 1977, we moved back, you know, when I was 10.
You know, I could have played my mother from the county of Mayo there, too. But anyway, this is, you know, we are not in any way, you know, we try to balance this program. Hasn't worked yet, but...
Exactly, and choosing your Grand Marshal from Mayo had nothing to do with my mother's
heritage. Oh, my God.
Although she would be pleased, rest her soul, she'd be happy with the choice.
Sean, you, in working your way back here and growing up in Galway, was there always a sense either of curiosity or, you know, a longing to return to the place of your birth? Now that you were brought up, and very well we might add, in Galway. What was that, where did that spark come from? I think I'm going to pack this in and go back.
Yeah, no, well, I'll tell you. I mean, first of all, obviously, thank you and Anya for inviting me on your show, especially after your cousin and I so rudely interrupted you last week.
No, that's all right. That wasn't your fault. And we know what to expect from him, you know.
But, it was really, I guess, somewhat of a necessity. I mean, it was fortunate enough, and I know we're talking about immigration as the theme for the parade this year. When I left Galway, there was really very limited opportunity. You know, I was working in the Great Southern at the time, which is a wonderful hotel, but there was just no money to be made. You were making a couple of pounds an hour, and you were paying tax out of it, and you were working 80 hours a week.
Yeah.
And unemployment in Galway at the time was north of 20%. So at the time, it was just kind of very limited as to try to get forward, and I'd work my way through college. So occasionally, you made the choice between a book and a meal, as we say, so I kind of got tired of that lifestyle. And as I said, fortunate enough to have the passport, and my brother was already over here working for Austin Delaney.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Another famous Mayo man.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I had the job at least at the Harbor Lights for Austin before I came over. I just made the phone call and, you know, spoke to JP, and my brother was already there.
Yeah.
So that gave me a start, as Austin gave many, many people a start in New York.
And you didn't have to be... Indeed, from Mayo at all, Austin Delaney, and indeed so many of the others. You know, I get in trouble if I start listing them and leave somebody out. But, you know, you had the Mike Cartys and
Paul O'Dwyer.
Yeah, well, we stopped there, but I'm talking about in the bar,
on the bar trade.
Trade. And, you know, many people... we'd have to acknowledge many people who worked as bartenders then left and started their own bar and restaurants and hospitality areas and did extremely well.
Well, it was just great to have the job, you know, and to get the start, as you say yourself. It was very, very important. And, you know, I'll just say even I would come over every summer from college. The hotel allowed me to come over here and work and then go back and work in the hotel again. In fact, I'd already met Paul O'Dwyer and Brian through Austin Delaney because I would work summers for them. But they were all very, very kind. I remember Paul giving me his card, and I got very intimidated when Liam Brown told me exactly who he was. Because Paul said, call me anytime, you know, and give me a very nice tip. And he said, when you come over, because he had asked me a lot of questions about what I'm doing. But Austin, of course, there was no question. Austin was so gracious. And as you said, Mike Carty and many other guys were always willing to help their own when they come over and give them a start.
Yeah, and if I don't throw in Jimmy Neary there.
Jimmy as well, sure.
Well, Jimmy has yet to buy a drink for me, but I don't want to rule out the possibility.
By not mentioning his name, you might rule out the possibility forever.
I mean, that's I'm holding out. You know, God bless the faith. Your yen to get into the financial industry. That was a bit of a holdover, though, from Galway and the National University of Galway, and where you had. So was that was this the shortcut, or was this the your plan when you were coming? Okay, I'm going to bartend first. I'm going to save some money, or did the saving of money to get into the financial world and the financial services, did that play a role?
Yeah, well, it's both connected. I mean, my postgrad I did an honors postgrad in business in Galway University. So when I came over, I'd wanted to get in the financial industry. And of course, in typical fashion, it was a guy who came into the Harbor Lights that referred me to somebody in Solomon. That gave me my first job, and it was a guy that Austin introduced me to, Hillary. I can't think of his last name now. It's been so many years. Yeah. But he introduced me to a friend of his in Solomon who hired me very cheaply, but I had to laugh on them. It was $300 a week with an MBA, and I know they figured they were getting me cheap, I guess, but I was making £2 an hour before that, so it was great money. I was used to living on fresh air, so you know, 300 versus 80 was a significant increase.
Yeah, and I'm sure you didn't bring up how much you make in the last job. Never mind. Would you say that was, a shaky time to get into, you know, finance and financial investment and Was that a time, as you look back, was that better or worse than...
Well, the industry certainly changed substantially. You know, the fees were much higher, and automation and computers were coming in, which drove everything down. So the industry became more and more and more competitive. But when you're starting from such a low base, where I was, everything was upside.
Yeah.
And, you know, the community is just so fabulous in New York. We're very, very blessed to come over from Ireland.
Yeah.
You know, there's people, as you mentioned before, there's people that will help you everywhere. They'll give you a chance.
And there still is that, a lot of people say, well, the Jewish people really stick together and that's how they've had success. But we as an Irish race have managed to do that for generations before us. We do. We're a clannish. We are a clique, particularly when it comes to helping other people, as, you know, evidenced by what I was referring to before, that, you know, bartenders, a couple of them, we get together and start their own place without... there was no chagrin when it came to that. I think a lot of people were figured, yeah, go ahead, fire away.
You're absolutely right, and the parade is very much a symbol of that as well.
Course,
I mean, when you think the parade started in 1762, that the population of New York was about 120,000 people, and now we have 200,000 people marching in the parade. And we have more people on the sidelines in the parade today than we had in the whole country of the United States. It was less than 2 million people in all of America in 1762.
Wow.
And you think about it, we got more people on the sidelines. And that's, again, obviously it includes all people from all over the community, and everybody in New York feels Irish on that day. But it's very much to do with the people that have all come before us, the Irish that have stuck together and made this happen every year. You know, all the way up to our 258th parade.
258 is a staggering. I mean, is there another organization that can claim? Excuse me, I don't know what it is today. Thank God I don't smoke. Anyway, the success of the St. Patrick's Day parade is the envy, of many other ethnic groups, and it has New York City St. Patrick's Day parade is celebrated. It is watched, and it does a tremendous amount for, you know, the image of the Irish, the traditions of the Irish, the success of the Irish, all of those. You know, you mentioned the immigrants coming from Ireland. Boy, there was no big cave made of folks. You're as welcome as the flowers of May for the Irish that came at that time. They were on the bottom rung of the social and cultural ladder.
You think, and it's a tribute to the Irish all over that we came from nothing and weren't really wanted. But all over the world, it's the only ethnic holiday that's celebrated in all corners of the world. It's just extraordinary when you think about St. Patrick's Day. Obviously, New York, we're the biggest and the oldest, and the people here and all the people that came before us really built it up. And it's our duty to keep going and keep improving. But you're right, it's just extraordinary when you think about the enormity of it.
Let's just come to St. Patrick's Day itself.
Yes.
There were, and I assume are, more people who would like to march on the St. Patrick's Day parade that can actually be accommodated within the time frame allotted by the license in the city of New York.
Yes.
How many, roughly, how many marchers will there be on St. Patrick's Day?
You know, one of these days I think we're going to try and get people together and do a bit of more of a counting, because it is approximately 200,000. But then it depends on the day, because, you know, as you know yourself, you get a warm day, which, you know, your cousin has assured us. although his father, from what I understand, it was raining very, very, very heavily that day. You get a rainy day, you get a lot fewer people. But
not only was it raining, it was snowing. He was a really tough guy. I'd be kind of worried about, you know.
He stayed in the reviewing stand, yes, I understand, all the way through, even with the weather, and the sash bled through his shirt and to his skin, and, you know, I was reading an article about it. But, yeah, but as you say, the attendance would be dependent to an extent on the weather. The core is still going to be there. You're going to get the 150,000-plus marchers, and then it's whether or not you get the additional is dependent on the weather. And we're on a Saturday, which is very helpful, of course, too, this year.
Yeah, which might, for some, require a little bit of explaining. 17th of March, worldwide, St. Patrick's Day, St. Patrick's Day throughout the world. The parade has never, first of all, any attempts that were made, as we know, to move the parade off Fifth Avenue and into Central Park or something else like that. Many a politician got torn down over that one. So, but what is the rationale to not have the St. Patrick's Day parade of the 17th of March happens to fall on a Sunday?
Yes, well, that's an excellent question. And we never have it, obviously, on the Holy Day on the Sunday. So we're the only parade in the city that's allowed to have the parade on our day. Everybody else is told they have to have it on the weekend. But this is actually by our choice and parade tradition that the parade itself is never held on a Sunday. So, you know, again, next year, the 17th, it's going to be on a Monday. We're going to skip over because the 17th is a Sunday. This year, we have the parade on a Saturday, the 16th.
Of course, there are many, and far be it from me to ever spread a rumor, but I heard that your Grand Marshal, by the way, he's the third Pied Piper in our family. We're very embarrassed about the fact that Grand. I'll tell you, holy. We don't even want to say the third Grand Marshal. We didn't call him Pied Piper or something, you know, just sort of. But it was rumored, and indeed, now I'm not, you know, casting any aspersions on my cousin Brian, but that this whole idea of not holding the St. Patrick's Day parade on a Sunday might have something to do with the hierarchy and His Eminence and all who came before him, that might be a total distraction for parishioners and for those who are going to fill the cathedral anyway.
Yeah.
So that little touch there. Some might say, indeed, well, they wouldn't want to interfere with the collection. But I think, and the collection plate. But but I think it has, you know, a lot to do also about St. Patrick's Cathedral. St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York is, without a doubt, except for leap years, it is a 365-day-a-year wonder. Now, it is, without a doubt, I think a lot of people, including, of course, non-Christians, come to New York, and there is something about St. Patrick's Cathedral that is a magnet.
It is magnificent. In fact, I just had the book that Cardinal His Eminence had recommended, the book about Dagger Hughes, to me.
Yeah.
The gentleman who put the stake in the ground and decided we were going to build a cathedral, and all he had was pennies and the collection plate at the time, but still obviously got it started. And it is, and at the time, as you are, I'm sure, aware, it was the second tallest building in the country.
Second tallest building in the country.
And the tallest building in New York by far.
And the great Dagger Hughes, if you know, for those who visit the Irish Hunger Memorial in Battery Park City, which I'm just taking this as an aside now, you know, came from my own parish of Etimas in County Mayo. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Straight across the field.
See, I got to read the book. It's upstairs.
No, but let's just say Dagger Hughes was indeed an Irish immigrant. He, at the time of, you know, the horrific controversy with respect to, you know, the famine in Ireland, the great hunger in Ireland, he's the one that was quoted when he was asked, well, what about, you know, the Trevelyan's corn and all of these yahoos over in Ireland stealing and you know, sinning, and Dagger Hughes stopped them in the tracks and said, man's first obligation is to his family. That's kind of, when you go back, just the depth of that statement alone, you know, coming from the Archbishop of New York, which basically says, hey, you want to know something, never mind the venial sins, the mortal sins, or the sacrilegious, man's first obligation is to his family.
A profound statement, you're right, versus what would have been normal doctrine.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And while we're at it, we might as well mention that, again, depending on who's doing the counting, but St. Patrick's Cathedral was built primarily by Irish immigrant coppers, the very limited funds that they have. It was the Irish immigrant, and in fact, further research would suggest that it was the Irish women who joined, or led, I should say, the other ethnic groups, because everybody was an immigrant, you know, at that point. Particularly in the New York area. So that's very...
That's the reason why it took so many years as well. I think it was 35 years from when he announced it to when it actually, finally they added the spires and it got completed.
I want to ask you about a question that we rarely have to address.
Yes.
Is Yes, you have the St. Patrick's Day Parade in New York. Bottom line here is, I don't know if anybody stops for a second and say, oh, by the way, how does that get paid for? Do you get government grants? Do you get grants from the church? How secure? And you ought to know, as you know, senior vice president for Morgan Stanley Wealth Management, how do you know that somewhere down the line, that 5 years from now, even, or if there's a change in economic or in social, cultural areas, that the day could well come when something, God forbid, like, you know, you take Washington, the nation's capital, are canceling their parade. Now, it sounds like it's incredible because they don't have the money. Simple as that. How and where does the money come from? And maybe you might address, you know, the you being a co-founder, you know, of the foundation. How and why did that come about?
You know, that's an excellent question. And just also to say, we invited a representative group from Washington to march in our parade, by the way.
Yeah.
Because we did feel bad, obviously, that they, you know, weren't able to do their funding this year. But and that was the reason why the foundation was founded. Myself and Hillary Byrne founded it, I think it must be about nine years ago, yeah. We started working on it. Because the parade each year would raise just enough money to hold the parade. Because it is such an enormous undertaking, and really people take off. I mean, people left when they say, well, you start working on the next parade. Actually, 2 weeks after this year's parade, you know, in April, yeah. It starts again. There's a certain amount of work done. So people, you know, obviously did an incredible job keeping this parade going for centuries, but never really had the chance to get proactive on the fundraising side. So every year they would raise just enough, and sometimes slightly less than it took to put on the parade, and then they would dig into the coffers. And there were a number of years where the parade went into negative, where it was in the red. You know, but we, thank God, the foundation, the community has been wonderfully responsive, and we've reached out to other, because we get no government funding. We get no funding from the church. Everything is provided by the parade community itself, and then there's the foundation, the Knights of St. Patrick. And, you know, we've done an outreach and brought other groups in, such as the American Ireland Fund. Northwell Health has been very supportive. And we're just looking to get bigger as we go. And we will be. I mean, one of the other things we did, Adrian, which is going to facilitate this, we had to restructure the parade itself to come in line with New York State law. And we updated the bylaws. So now we have all these subcommittees. And, you know, it's great. Rather than just having one group of people and having to get them all together to make every single decision, yeah. We're able to put together like a development committee that only focuses on raising money, a media committee that only focuses on dealing with the media, and we've had enormous updates out of that this year, which yeah. We'll talk about in a second. But restructuring the parade has enabled us not only to come in line with common state law and best practices, but also to be much more proactive. And we're only getting started. This year we've already made quite a few changes that are very positive, and we're going to continue to grow and to get bigger so that, you know, we can support and help our community.
It wasn't there at the time, you know, your and Hillary Byrne's pitch was, let's not rely on corporate America, like all the companies, that in fact, and we'd have to acknowledge, you know, your predecessor, John yes. Leahy, mm-hmm. for really reining in, you know, the huge corporate money that was there. Mm-hmm. It wasn't at that time when you were starting to say, well, you know, there are a great number of changes in corporate America. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just don't take it for granted that, you know, Ford and all of the other that have traditionally you know, been there to support and happy to do so. Don't take that for granted. That's a year by year, and,
yeah.
and some slight change even in corporates might have a new regime who say, hey, wait a minute, that's not where it's at.
You're right, we need to be self-funding, and that's an excellent point. We do have important corporate sponsors, but, you know, we're not going to have corporate floats in the parade. I've gotten probably 4 phone calls so far this year
right.
from corporations that would love to have a huge float at the beginning of the parade. We're not going to do that. You know, that's not our
yeah.
tradition. This is about the Irish community and a celebration of New York as well, but first and foremost, it's an Irish and Irish-American parade, and we're not going to corporatize. You know, we do have corporate sponsors, and they're very, very important to us, and they do have commercials on during the parade, but
yeah.
we're not so beholden to any one of them that it would make a difference to us at all
yeah.
if we lost even several of them, because, as you said, the foundation has come in and become the major donor to the parade, and of course, as I mentioned, the Knights of St. Patrick have always been there as well as a very significant donor too.
Now, the foundation,
yes.
Indeed, has a very significant, always sold out event. You know that takes
yes.
place every year, and
yes.
it is. It is, you know, for the installation of the Grand Marshal and aides to the Grand Marshal. And many people feel, okay, well, when it gets closer now, we must take a table, we must make it.
Yes.
And
yes.
each and every year, there are people who are really disappointed. Anton's is a great place, but it does
yeah.
have a limit.
Yeah.
But that is it's a social event. It's a fun day.
Yes.
And you know but that's your major fundraiser.
Well, we actually have 2 events. The event at Anton's, as you mentioned, is the installation, as
mm-hmm.
you said yourself, for the Grand Marshal and the aides to the Grand Marshal.
Mm-hmm.
It's and that's a celebration. It's not so much a fundraiser. I mean, there are some funds that are raised, and it's important to make sure we cover our costs. But
okay.
that's a way of getting together with all the wonderful people that are the aides of the Grand Marshal and celebrating. You know, their contribution to our community with the Grand Marshal.
Mm.
And then separately, on March 13th, the foundation, as you mentioned, has our gala, and that's our big fundraiser of the year. And as you mentioned, your cousin Brian, who you will hopefully introduce in very flowery language, is going to be our honoree.
Yeah.
And Brian told me he's got 6 pages of notes for you to memorize because he said he
yeah.
wants it to be heartfelt. It's going to look kind of fake, he said, if you're reading it on the podium.
Can I tell you, up to now I was being extraordinarily nice to my cousin, way beyond the bounds of expectation. I got a snotty little text message from Brian here say, I will be suing for defamation. Now, that's addressed to you.
Uh-oh.
You know?
I'm in trouble now.
Yeah, well... You know, I'll take half it, but yeah, Brian, I've just told him off. Don't worry about Sean Wade. Let's come to, you know, the fundraising. By the way, I threw out the bait, and thank God
yes.
I did, because again, that is, you know, for the Grand Marshal and aides to the Grand Marshal. But if you don't mind,
yes.
or if you have the list of aides to the Grand Marshal there, you can...
I do.
You do. Tell us.
I have it right here in front of me.
Good.
Well, first of all, from New York County, we have, you know, someone we lost who is beloved by the community, and, you know, they wanted to maintain her as the aide. Her son is going to march in her honor, but it's Carol Gillen Costello.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rest her soul. She did a lot of service to our community and participated in many organizations. She was an educator. And then Queens County, we have Kieran Mahoney, as we'd say in Ireland. They say
yeah.
Mahoney here, I know. I always remind myself. Suffolk County is Bill Gorham. Bronx County is Ray Lydon, County Clare man, military background. Westchester County is Aidan O'Kelly Lynch. Nassau County, my own county here, Nassau County, Maureen Caffery. And then we've Orange County aide is Michael O'Keefe. Rockland County is Dan Donahue, or Donahoe, I think yeah. they say here. Kings County is Bernard Cassidy.
You know, Rich, Sean, yeah. I just want to interject something
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Stop catering to Yanks if it's...
Just use the Irish pronunciation.
Absolutely. Now, if there are Yanks who want to sort it out, you know, whether that's
yeah.
the, you know, whether that's Grand Marshal or anybody else, that's their problem. Our we know where the roots are, but anyway, I'm sorry I cut in.
No, that. You're right, because I said Bernard, I didn't say Bernard, you'll notice. So then Richmond County is Cornelius Sullivan. United Irish Counties is Jerry O'Shea and Tom McGuire. The Grand Council of Emeralds is Tommy Farrell. The Knights of St. Patrick is Monsignor Nealon. And then, of course, the Eight at Large is Siobhan Dennehy. And the Archdiocese of New York, Robert Ritchie, who also has, Monsignor Ritchie, who also has Mayo roots. So there's this kind of Mayo Mafia yeah, theme yeah. this year, I guess.
But the many times, you know, the aides to the Grand Marshal, first of all, it's a huge honor. But a lot of times, you know, they get overlooked, and I think it's, you know, it is very, very significant and very important, because you don't become an aide to the Grand Marshal just because you're, you know, a Mayo or Galway or...
No, it's a lifelong dedication. And you know, in line with what you're saying, and as you recall, when Brian and I called you last week, we were actually taping a TV special on the aides to the Grand Marshal. And that's new this year. That's one of the outgrowths that came from having a media subcommittee of the parade board that was just able to focus on media. We're now going to be broadcasting on 7 platforms for the parade this year. And one of them,
wow.
we're going to televise the Mass for the first time ever on the Catholic Faith Network.
Yes.
And we're doing an hour-long special on the aides to the Grand Marshal. And just as you said, you know, and you're one of the, a couple of people who said this to me in the past, that they deserve more attention and to be highlighted, given their dedication to the community. So they're all going to be interviewed, or they have been, they're all going to be,
yeah.
they have all been interviewed for the Catholic Faith Network. The program's going to show 4 times that week. And they
yeah.
said they'll even show it, they're all going to get a DVD.
Yeah.
And then it's going to show as a lead-in to the live Mass. And again, for the first time ever, we're televising the Mass in St. Patrick's Cathedral this year on
yeah.
the day of the parade.
As an interviewer here, you know, backslapping is never a part of this program here. So let me throw a little something in there, though. Is the Mass in the Cathedral, is that being live-streamed? You know, on the internet, because if it's not, it will be afterwards, obviously, with the,
yes.
you know, through.
Well, the Catholic Faith Network, I believe they've said they're going to live stream it as well as show it live on TV. It's going to
hey.
Be on the Catholic Faith Network live on TV, and then they're going to, and that's got a global reach, by the way.
Yes.
It's not just community.
Oh, I know.
You
yeah.
can watch it, and then, as you said, they'll live stream it on their website as well as show it on TV.
We'll fill in the details. Let's now that Kevin O'Connor is ready to quit the job after nearly 50 years, because he's waiting over there and to bring us the news. But tell us about the significance of the gala, the fundraiser,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, which is, again, designated to be and always is like the major, major fundraiser, and that's what it is. It does bring in the money necessary for the parade.
It does, and it's also the ability to, you know, celebrate the life of the Grand Marshal with friends. And then also, I don't know if I'd mentioned to you, we do a parade service award every year, the St. Patrick Award from the Foundation, for people that have dedicated their lives to our community. Stephen McDonald
yeah.
is a former recipient. But Mel Kenny, this year, it's going to be Mel's 76th parade.
My
marching
God.
In his, and he's the former Deputy Police Commissioner for Nassau County. So he's going to be a co-honoree with Brian. And, you know, we're very excited about it. But as you said, the it is our big fundraiser, and we're thrilled. Your own daughter actually is working on it. Eileen is got a great talent for organizing events. Well, I guess your
yeah.
family is so bloody big. Every time you get together, it's like a major event. So, and you get together frequently, I understand. So
yeah,
she's been it. And Mike Carroll and Jim Lombard and Cody McCollum are helping us. You know, so we've got a great team helping us with the gala. We're going to have Mairead Nesbitt is going to be the Irish violinist. If you remember from Celtic Women, if you've ever watched those.
Yes.
So she's good. Yeah, well, we wanted to have the highest form of Irish entertainment, obviously, is would be appropriate with Brian as our honoree. And she's going to be playing as well. And it's going to be in the Sheraton Hotel March 13th. You can see it on the St. Patrick's Day Foundation New York website.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, why don't we just make this recommendation? If you want to know what's happening, if it has to do with St. Patrick's Day Parade, if it's to do with the events, the details, log on to www.nycstpatricksparade.org.
Yes, or www.stpatricksdayfoundation.org for the gala.
That'll do it? Okay.
That'll do it. And I just got an email from your cousin saying that we're defaming him. I guess we're both being sued.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, then all of this interview was worthwhile.
That's lawyers for you, Adrian. That's lawyers for you.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you.
Can I just mention one or two more events coming up?
Yeah.
If that's okay. The United Irish Counties on January 25th, they're having their dinner dance at Anton's.
Mm-hmm.
And then February 5th, we're going to be giving the assembly instructions.
Yeah. Anya's telling me, don't let that Sean Lane bust our bubble. We're going to have Tom Duffy, the president.
Tom. I'm sorry. We don't need to pronounce. Yeah. We'll let Tom do his own. And then the Grand Marshal, as you mentioned, the installation for the AIDS and the Grand Marshal is February 24th in Anton's.
Okay. So there you have it. Anyway, stpatricksdayparade.org will give
St. Patrick's Day Foundation, yes.
Oh, you want to plug that one? Okay.
That's for the event. Yeah, that's if you're looking for tickets for the gala.
Okay. All right. Sean, thank you.
Thank you so much. Always an honor to be on your show. Yeah. You know, really admit that. And thank you, Anya, as well. Very nice of you guys. Thank
and you.
You
know that, yes. And just that, you know, that thing from that Brian, you know, threatening to sue us. He'd do anything to get publicity.
My last question I have to say is, what kind of insurance do you have? I want to make sure I'm covered.
That's all right. Let Morgan Stanley worry about that. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network, Irish Radio Network USA, irishradio.com, worldwide.